Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that word, love. It is throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Our daily Bible readings are going to focus on centrally that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, but you'll notice that this week, describing that first characteristic of love as being patient, that's what we look at today. You'll find that our readings have gone to other stories in Scripture, other verses to underscore that characteristic of the virtue of love. Love is patient. I don't know what the word patient means to you. There's a brief video clip I want you to see. Some of you will remember a comedy show that was on TV for many, many years called The Carol Burnett Show. Okay, many of you will not remember that show. It was running many, many years ago, but had to be one of the most classic, one of the most amazing, one of the most hilarious comedy television shows ever, at least in my opinion, and mine is the only one that counts. Carol Burnett, along with the cast of supporting actors and actresses, gave us an hour each week of just hilarity, of comedy. One of the skits they did was about patience. Let's look at it.
Hi. I'm kind of in a hurry. Could I have a pound and a half of ground round, please?
Cease! Can't take an order here until you take a number.
There's nobody else in here.
Man, I can't wait on you until you take a number.
Oh, for heaven's sake. All right. I got a number, okay?
What is
28.
That's your number.
That's my number. Now, could I?
Right.
I'm in a hurry. I should have been home a half hour ago.
Honey, all right,
come on, move it, will you?
Stop here, that's the trouble. People don't slow down nowadays. Take your time for crying out loud. Get a chance to stop and smell roses.
Can I have a pound and a half of ground round?
Don't talk into the chickens. Get that in there for you.
All right.
Get that.
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. For love is patient. I love that skit because it has everything to do with patience and impatience. Have you ever felt the way Harvey Korman did when you're just trying to run in and get something done? Have you ever just wanted to, whatever has to be done, let's just get on with it. Let's finish it. Let's move on. Patience. The book, or really the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, ranks right up there with the 23rd Psalm in many people's minds. It's a famous passage. It's the love chapter. Of all the many weddings that I participated in over the past almost 40 years of doing what I do, it's 1 Corinthians 13 that we read most often. And we focus in on not reading all of that chapter, but that middle section that we're going to deal with over these next weeks. Love is, and it begins with patient. You see, 1 Corinthians 13 is an amazing passage of Scripture. It basically divides up into three major parts. That first part, verses 1 to 3 that I just read with you just a moment ago, sets the scene for describing and depicting the characteristics of love. And then verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 describe love. That's what we're going to be focusing on. And then it closes out from verse 8 to the end by wrapping things up and comparing those three great attributes, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these being love. Apparently, there's something important about love. That's why we want to spend our time over these next weeks with the daily Bible readings, focusing on this very brief passage that speaks to every aspect of our lives. Love is patient. We got to realize that love itself is an overworked word. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to go into that, about all the words that the Greek language offers that we translate that one English word, love. But when we say love, it can mean any number of things, all the way from physical attraction to just brotherly love or just our approval of something. Or we've even abbreviated it, and many people sign off letters with love ya, L-U-V. There's an airline that talks about being the airline of love, of spreading love. So we've taken love and we've plastered it all over the English language, and it's overworked. Let me be clear with you. When we talk about love in the Scripture, it's not a rule. We're not talking about a rule that you have to choose to either obey or disobey. It's not something written out there and categorized with every aspect of life. This kind of love is not a rule. This kind of love, God's love, is not a principle. Principle goes beyond a specific rule or a dictate of life. And this is not just a philosophy of living. We'll talk about it in that term. Many people will refer to it as a way of life, but love is not a principle. And it's not doing what comes naturally. Love is not doing what comes naturally. Let me explain that. I would look at this description that we're about to focus on over the next few weeks, beginning with love is patient. And I would have to admit that if I do what comes natural to me, I am not patient. If I go with what would naturally be my tendency, it would be to go against just about everything we're going to read. And so many people think, well, love is just doing the opposite. But no, it's not. It's much more than that. And love is not a duty. Many times we depict love as some obligation we have when we pledge allegiance to our country or when we talk about our commitment to family or even to God. We sometimes relegate love to just being what we're supposed to do because we're God's children. What is love then? Well, remember, it's that unique word that we've turned into an English word, agape. That's literally how you pronounce love in the Greek New Testament here in 1 Corinthians 13. When it's talking about that kind of love that raises the bar higher than we could ever reach. Of all the words Paul could have used, of all the words the Scripture refers to, especially the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when John 3:16 talks about the love of God, he chooses this word, agape. That's the one we've got to focus on. That's the one that's carried all the way through the New Testament to describe what God's love is really all about. So I liken it to love being a language that we have to learn. If you've ever sought to learn a foreign language, you know it doesn't happen just like that. Which brings us to this first characteristic of patience. Love is a language to be learned. It's also an instrument to be played. If you've ever taken up playing the piano or playing one of the instruments you see here in our orchestra, or playing any musical instrument, you know that once again, it doesn't happen the first time you sit down. You don't develop that sense of pitch or of being able to understand and form the notes of a beautiful melody, which brings us back to this first characteristic that love is patient. It takes time. Or we would also say love is not only a language to be learned or an instrument to be played, but love is like that mountain to be climbed. You're not going to get to the top immediately, but you're going to know that it's worth the journey. You're going to know that every step you take moving up gets you closer to that place where the view will be simply unbelievable, which simply means that love, this kind of love that we find described in 1 Corinthians 13, as far as God is concerned, is our ultimate destiny. This is where we're headed. That's why it's so important that we have an accurate understanding of God's love, of agape love. God so makes it that we can experience this agape love in the present day, that as followers of Jesus, we are called upon to develop, to use this kind of love in every relationship we have of life. This is our founding, our foundation. This is where we move from this point. But yet we've got to also see it as an ultimate end, an ultimate goal. It's where we're headed. God's love. So, that brings us to this first character trait, if you will. You know, a lot of people will argue the point that, love is a concept. And indeed, in many cases it is. And others will say, no, it's a verb. Love is an action. And indeed, in many ways it is. It's both and. For all of these characteristics we're about to read over the next several weeks that you're going to do in-depth study on, we're going to drill down in other passages of Scripture. That's why it's so important to keep up with these daily Bible readings. Use them. They'll bless your life. Is we're going to find that love is indeed an action. That concept, that agape love, if it's going to be lived out in our lives, it's going to be worked out through the actions, by the things that we do, by the things that we say, by who we are. So it's all together. With that in mind, let's talk about that first characteristic. Let's talk about what the man walking into the butcher shop needed. He needed patience. This word in 1 Corinthians 13:4 is actually two words in the Greek language put together. One of them means great, long. And the second word means passion. So it depends upon the context many times as to exactly how to translate it. But when love, when this word that we translate patient, when it's applied to love, is how it's most often used when this compound word appears with love. Love is long-suffering, some versions of the Scripture will say. And you can see how those two words come into play, those compound ideas. Love is greatly patient. Patience in and of itself talks about duration, talks about something that is long, something that is great. And the idea of patience carries with it a concern, a love, a passion, a desire to see a person, to see a situation at its best. When we think of patience, we always applaud it. We always applaud patience in others, don't we? It's always a great thing, especially when we see patience lived out in someone else besides us. In other words, patience is for everyone else in our lives. But so oftentimes we neglect to bring it home and to cry out for patience on our own. Or if we do, it's like that prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. That's a prayer that many of us pray. Maybe not those exact words, but in understanding and knowing that we have fallen short of what this idea of love really is, though the bar has been set very high. And to think of it described in the first place as being patient, long-suffering. Yes, we applaud it. Yes, we acknowledge it. But we apply it to everyone else. You see, it's my wife that needs patience, I would say. It's my children that need patience, we would say. It's the people at work. It's our supervisor. It's our boss who needs patience. Until we bring it home, until we understand that it is something we all desperately need, then this idea of agape love is never going to become a reality in our lives. Now, the reason we think what we do about patience is because of the world in which we live. There's no doubt. Society will say, take the waiting out of wanting. Now, that little phrase there in quotation marks is an actual advertisement from, I think it was around 1972, from a credit card company. It was a credit card company called Access. It was in the United Kingdom. They had a consortium of banks in Scotland and in England, and they were promoting a new credit card. And their slogan, their advertising slogan, was just what you see on the screen. Take the waiting out of wanting. Immediately, millions of people bought into it. And some would say the majority of people who bought into that and got a credit card simply took it at face value, that here's an excuse for me to have what I've always wanted and to have it right now. That was the whole idea. Now, Access Credit Card Company doesn't exist any longer. In 1996, they were bought out by a company called MasterCard. And don't get me wrong, I'm not cursing credit cards. I have one. I just showed you one. There is a proper way to use a credit card, in my opinion. And it's a very thin line for many people. Because what? Because we bought into the notion that if we hold a plastic card in our hands and we swipe it in exchange for goods and services, that in some way, shape, or form, we are shortcutting the payment. And we're not. All too sadly, all too often, what happens to people that buy into the notion of take the waiting out of wanting? We're essentially saying that we can take a shortcut, that we can get what we want and get it sooner than everyone else. And the simple fact of the matter is that payday comes, that the settling of accounts, the settling of the bill is going to appear. And literally speaking, how many people have ruined their financial lives, have set themselves back in so many ways for so long, for so many years, because of buying in to the notion that patience is old-fashioned, that patience is no longer needed. That's what society tells us. And hopefully, many of us, hopefully all of us, will see through that charade, will see through that misguided notion, that see it, we'll see it just for what it is. It's just a fancy advertising tool. Now, it's not just society that has skewed our perspective of when the Bible says love is patient, but it's the church as well. For what does the church say? And when I say the church, I don't mean just you and me, but talking about the universal church. More times than not, what do we tell people? We tell people that if you want to be like Jesus, we ask that as an open-ended question. If you want to be God's child, if you want to truly do God's will, then all you have to do is what? Is just pray this prayer, and it's all yours. Now, indeed, look at that statement in quotations, and you'll see some truth there. Do you want to be like Jesus? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with asking that question. That's a worthy goal. If we're God's children, then the point of living for Jesus is to become more like Him, to act like He acted, to do the things He would do. So it's totally right to say, do we want to be like Jesus, and ask that question. That's a great invitation to offer to anyone who is seeking. When they see the life of Christ and begin to understand what He offers to them, of course we want to be like Him. And then there's another truth in that phrase that you see there on the screen. Pray a prayer. Is it right to pray? Absolutely. Should we pray? That's an understatement. Everything we do for God depends upon our prayers. We want to ask for His blessing upon what we attempt to do for Him, for His kingdom. If you're making individual plans, you'll want to bathe those in prayer. Absolutely. If you're trying to decide issues that involve your family, you'll want to pray about it. As a church, if we consider the direction we want to head and the kind of church we want to be, I would certainly hope that when we gather each and every week, that we would have been praying about those things. So do we want to be like Jesus? Yes. Do we pray to be like Jesus? Of course. Here's the rub. Pray this prayer and it's all yours. Is that the way it is? Do we do right to promise people that if they'll just go through certain spiritual exercises, that all they have to do is say, Lord, I'm yours, and then immediately whatever the obstacle is has been removed? That if I just turn away from my poor financial planning and my wastefulness, my buying into an idea that I can have it right now, and I ask Jesus to help me, that all of a sudden the creditors are going to walk away and say, oh, you follow Jesus now. You don't owe us anything. Is that the way it is? Of course not. But yet, how often as a church do we come across in such a way that all you need to do is let go and let God, we say. Sounds good. But what does patience say? Love is patient. And patience, if we personify this characteristic of love, would say this. Said, no, that's not the way it happens. We're not going to learn life's lessons immediately, but we're going to learn them one day at a time. You see, love is patient. When we're dealing with butchers that are so inept, we need to have patience in our relationships with others. And when it comes to patience in progress in the Christian life, we have to understand and know that the real lessons of Christianity are going to be learned one day at a time as we what? As we practice the disciplines God has given us of reading the Scripture, of praying to Him, of giving of ourselves and of our resources to His kingdom, of serving in the life of His church. Those things may seem tedious. Those things may seem boring. Those things may seem beside the point. But that's what the Scripture says. Love is patient. And it understands the price. But what does the Scripture tell us to do? The Scripture tells us to practice putting on this patience. Other passages by the same man, Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians 13, he will tell us to take off and put off certain things, just like shedding a coat, perhaps. And as you take it off, he says, put on this. And one of those things, one of those ideas that he tells us to put on is this very notion of patience. Practice it day in and day out. It's not just for the other person. For love, at its very foundation, is a great passion for the good of others and a progress in your life. Edwin Stanton was the Secretary of War during President Lincoln's presidency in our country. It's amazing that he was made Secretary of War, because all the years before his appointment, he ridiculed Abraham Lincoln, made fun of him. I mean, we're talking serious, serious accusations of ineptness on the part of Lincoln. He even likened Lincoln to an animal, a gorilla, in one article. It said, if you need to go to some foreign land to shoot a gorilla, you don't have to. All you got to do is look at Abraham Lincoln. I mean, that's how ugly it got. But history tells us that when Lincoln tapped a Secretary of War, he tapped Stanton because of his credentials, because of the way he conducted that part of his life. And Abraham Lincoln, throughout those years where Stanton served him as Secretary of War during that Civil War, he treated him with kindness, with patience. And when the assassin's bullet struck the president and took his life, who was at the room, in the room, with the body of Lincoln? Stanton. And who was the one who cried and with tears said, and history quotes, here lies the greatest ruler the world has ever seen? Edwin Stanton. Because what? Because patience, because love ran its course between the lives of two individuals. And patience, patient love, won. You see, love is patient. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, to call upon your name, to respond to you. Help us in these closing moments to make the choices and decisions that we know we need to make. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We offer an invitation as we conclude this service today. In a moment, there are going to be deacons and ministers standing here across the front. And as we sing this closing song, we're going to ask you to step out and make those choices that need to be made in front of a congregation. You might say, well, what would those be? Why do I need to come forward today? Well, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, you need encouragement. And we're here to offer that. If you need to understand and know what it means to pray that prayer, not that immediately makes you the happiest person on the face of the earth, but that prayer that does immediately grant you eternal life, then we're here to help you understand that prayer and to help you on that journey. So we'd ask you to come forward if asking Jesus into your life for the first time is a choice you need to make. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, never followed Him in believer's baptism. We have water in that baptistry up there. Though we didn't baptize someone in this service, every time we can, every chance we get, every time there's a person who's asked Christ into their heart, we ask them to experience believer's baptism. We practice it. Maybe that's where you are today. Come forward today and make that commitment to say, yes, I want to follow the Lord in His command to be baptized in His name. Maybe God would lead you to join this church today. Maybe this is where you belong. This is where you attend regularly and you've made it all but official. Well, make it official. It's important. Become a part, an official member of First Baptist Church Louisville. We invite you to make that choice today. Maybe God has something to do with working out patience in your life. Maybe for too long you've just pointed at others, said you need it, but you know down deep inside that you do as well. Maybe you just need prayer today. Ray will be on one side of the room, Sandy will be on the other, Lon will be up in the balcony. These volunteers, these people are people who are just responding here to say, I will pray for you. That's our invitation. We stand, we sing, we ask you to make those choices. Step out and come forward right now.